comfortable, but hey, if we don't talk about it, it's just going to stay there in your mind. So let me help you sort out those thoughts, right? For the next 1 hour, we'll break some more tables. This is a gendered show. I love to make this announcement at the beginning because some of you come to me on social media, Wemimo, you're a feminist. Oh, yeah, but I am. Wemimo, you're always talking about women. Oh, yeah, but I do. So that's not up for argument, right? This is a gendered show. We're here to promote women's rights on all levels. And today I have a tough question for you. For the women, and I'd love you to call me up today and tell me what your thought is about the show today. But as usual, if you're familiar with Table Talk, the show is in two parts. The first part is just me giving you a gist of the biggest thing for me from the weekend. No comments on that one. It's called the appetizer. And then we go on to the main dish. By the way, the show is live on Facebook and YouTube right now, so you can watch and leave me your thoughts and comment. Also on Twitter, at Nigeria Info FM, I'll be reading from you. I hope to also jump off to WhatsApp. I see your comments there already. 08095975805. If you do not have our phone numbers, it's 0700-993-993-993. Female callers, I'd love to hear from you today. It's 01465719. Thank you for joining the show. The appetizer is up now.
Here's the appetizer on Table Talk.
All right, the appetizer for the weekend. This weekend, I had enough time to think again about the political scene in Nigeria and ask myself the tough questions about where we're headed. For those of you who follow me on Twitter, I stumbled on a country. I tweeted about it yesterday. Bosnia and Herzegovina. Herzegovina. I have to practice saying that word. Now, Bosnia, so the short form of how they write the name of the country is B, small I, and H. They have three presidents. Hello? They've got three presidents, four-year tenure each, and they go around sharing the tenure in 8 months. So every 8 months, there's a new president, and then it goes into the next president, and the next president, every 8 months for 4 years. And I'm like, oh, yeah, well, maybe this is what we need in Nigeria. Take that with a pinch of salt, okay? Just maybe. Now, Bosnia arrived at this junction because of the various ethnic diversions that they had. And they were trying to make sure that the ethnic groups feel a part of government. That's not all. They have over... it's almost ridiculous. They have about 100 parliaments. They have about 700 parliamentarians. I was reading an article from Al Jazeera, and my mouth was just open, like, are you for real? Now, while you in Nigeria asking that we should, you know, have more participation of ethnic minorities in government, the people in Bosnia are now asking, is this not getting too much? Is this not getting too much? How can we, you know, bring this together? It's becoming too... Yeah, so what you are clamoring for is what some people are asking. Can we find a way back to the normal democracy where we have just one president? And they begin to think that having these various presidents and parliamentarians is further dividing the country, because now you have to either be from here or from here. It's now more stark reality. So, do you like it? And, you know, I asked you on Twitter yesterday, you want? If that's what you want, maybe we should ask for another change in the constitution so we can have how many presidents now? Because we have over 400 ethnic groups in Nigeria. So how many presidents, how many parliaments, how many parliamentarians are we going to have at the end of the day? Just a thought. And of course, our show today is around politics also. So let's go on to the main dish and have a conversation started.
Now to the main dish on Table Talk. Table Talk.
All right, come closer. Like I like to tell you on the show, it's okay for you to argue with me. In fact, I cherish arguments, like you might know, but the thing you have to do is argue with facts, all right? Come here with your facts, come correct, all right? I bow always to superior arguments, but you have to come correct. That's the only thing you owe me and yourself. By all means, bring it on the show. Now, let's talk about women in politics. And while we're clamoring for more seats for women, remember recently that the legislators threw out a bills that were meant to improve women's participation in politics, amongst other things, which they have now decided after a lot of pressure to reassess. My guest is here with me in the studio today. She's Sauda Salami. She's a development advocate. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. So we're going to be having a tough conversation, and that's while we're clamoring for these seats, my topic today is election 2023. Where are the women to vote for? Yeah, I'm sure the men are going, yes, yes, that's what I've been saying. Calm down. But actually, where are the women to vote for? Because to take these positions, you have to put yourself up to be elected. And then we have to tell people to then vote for you. But if you're not there to be voted for... All right, let me start off. What do you think about those bills? Now, we had a number of bills, about five of them. One was ask for extra seats at the legislature. I'm not down for that, actually. But let me ask you, what you think about that? Do we need extra seats in the legislature for women?
Oh, I'm not down for that as well. I'm not down for that. We don't need extra seats. There are enough seats. We're even trying to reduce that number. We just need to sign up.
That's it.
Yeah.
And I mean, because saying that, let's say we have, so this is an example. So we have a class of 20. And 18 of them are boys, 2 are girls. So we say, oh, because we want more girls in this class, let's add one more seat and make them 21 in this class. So at the end of the day, you still have 18 boys and then maybe 3 girls.
Yes.
And you also drive up the cost of governance.
Exactly. What we actually need to do is, you know, the thing is that if you say you want 5, you want to increase the number of seats. So who are you going to, which state is going to provide all the females? Who is going to agree to step down and say, okay, let's have... in your state, like now in I'm from Lagos and I stay in Surulere. So we have how many people representing us, and you now add more seats for us, and you now see those seats have to be women. So what will happen to that means you have now said that the existing seats, you've agreed that they will always be men on that seat.
Yeah, because you are negotiating just for one seat.
Exactly. That's what we're doing. So I don't think that should be. And that is like selection, which at the end of the day, they would look down on us as if, because it's not merit. You know, we need to find a way to fight for the seats that are available. And I think we have competent women that will do that. But politics is expensive.
That's where we're driving to. Now, in case you missed it, and I don't know how you could have, the presidential ticket to run for the primaries in the PDP is 40 millionaire.
Yes.
Like 4-0 millionaire. Just to say, oh, I want you in my party to choose me as a candidate. I want to contest with other people to become the flag bearer of this political party. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm saying 40 millionaire for the ticket. That's aside lobbying.
Yes.
And the stuff behind the scene. Do you think women can afford that? And why can't women afford that?
No, we can. I am on Twitter. I followed how APC is doing some of their primaries. Mm. And the youth leaders that are campaigning, that they want to, you know, be the youth leaders of APC and all. A number of them didn't have money. They raised money online.
Crowdfunding.
They raised money online. There was even one of them that raised over $1 million in 3 hours. So we can't wait. Women, if we want to participate, you cannot say, oh, it's 40 million. So that means they don't want us there. Mm-mm. They didn't expect you to bring it.
Yeah.
Because when you come into politics, you're not coming by yourself. There are a number of people that are coming together for you. So we have to be ready to go door to door.
Yeah.
And tell people why we want to serve them
and
let them trust us and believe in us and give us money, which is what these people have done.
Yeah.
So these youths did not have 1 million naira. They didn't have 5 million naira. They went donations. They were even announcing donation online. Hmm. This one gave 5K. This one gave 10K. This one gave 100K. You know, and that is what we need to do. Politics is expensive all over the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so we can't, even if they make it free to come in, who is going to pay for all your going around campaigning? It's money. Who is going to pay for all your travel to get around? All your town hall meetings? Who is going to pay for it?
You need
money for it. If you want to sit down with the elders and tell them why they should vote for you and convince the community to vote for you, you need to mobilize people to go with you. Who is going to pay for the bus ride?
Yeah.
Who is going to pay for the lunch? Who is going to pay for lodging?
Media campaign.
Who is going to pay for coming on air? Who
is going
to pay
for it? And it is quite expensive.
Exactly.
We, for instance, we are expensive.
Yeah, everybody. Saying. Yes.
Because we run on diesel. I mean,
exactly.
Nobody's going to be doing
why
you, oh,
you
you're
do
a woman,
free?
Then give me for free. That's
why
not going to happen.
Why should you do it free? Why should you do it free?
Well, that's a good question.
Everywhere in the world, politics is expensive. So we have to learn to mobilize, go door to door and get people to fund the campaign.
But I see a big issue here. I see that, you know, a lot of women are scared when they hear the money. Oh, 40 million, they've disenfranchised us. Because of, but the 40 million naira is 40 million for both men and women, which also means that a lot of men would also not be able to afford it. Which is why you find some of the big players being the first to buy the tickets, because, you know, they got the money behind them. But there's this idea of women and money. I think that a lot of women are afraid of money. You know, once it comes to money conversations, you know, because a lot of women have been raised to think money conversations are meant for men. So once you begin to talk money, it's just a no-go area. They've just zoned out in their minds that it's impossible.
I don't want to believe that is so. A lot of women are business women.
Yeah.
The thing is, there's so many other things that hold women back in going into politics. Look at the politicians. Are they at home? No. Hmm. Who is taking care of their home? The women. So if the women want to go into politics, who will now take care of the home?
Hmm.
The domestic responsibilities hold women back for career, politics, and every other thing.
Hmm.
So if there's nobody around, how will the woman be going from state to state, assuming she wants to be president?
Yeah.
Or even if she wants to be a senator, she has to go around all her community, all the night meetings,
yeah,
all the community meetings, all the town halls, all those things. Excuse me, how will she take care of her house?
Because the kids have to go to school.
Exactly.
They have to eat.
She even has to hug them at night. She has to do all sorts of things with them. But the men are not at home because they're doing this campaign all over the place. Then they'll come back or they'll talk on Skype with their children and stuff like that. But the mother is there. Now we want women to go out and do those things. Who is going to replace them?
So how do we manage that? Because the women have to show up.
The thing is, a number of even journalists, when they see a woman doing all those things and very active, the stupid question they are going to ask her is, who is taking care of your children at home? Did you ask the other man that question? So they always
that's a very silly question.
Yes,
to
now
ask.
They always put the woman on the spot, so she's already feeling guilty now.
Hmm.
But the thing is that if we're looking at structures, if you want to push diversity, you have to look at support structures that do not. It's not that women don't want to do these things, but the options are too big for them. But if we encourage support structures and don't question them for using those support structures, she has left the house. She's campaigning all over the country. She has the nanny. She has driver. She has all these things. She's talking to her kids via Skype or whatever it is, and she makes time to come home. Or even, you know, the workplace is was designed for men.
Hmm.
Now that you're bringing women in, you have to change it. You have to accommodate their own difference,
yeah,
all right? The fact that she doesn't come for the midnight meeting all the time does not mean that she's not serious. It means that she wants to leave and go and take care of the children.
There's a big societal stigma also. So I'm imagining that a woman says, oh, I'm going to damn all the consequences. I'm going to put all these structures in place and go in for it. But she's going to a society that's highly patriarchal that will first ask her, where are your are you married?
Exactly.
First of all, are you married?
Bias.
Second of all, are you married? And third of all, are you married? And then if you're married, do you have children? How many children where are they? And why are you here when children are there? That means you're going to be a very bad leader.
This is the month of March, and we're talking about break the bias.
Absolutely.
And the thing is that is one of the ways they judge women.
Yeah.
She wants to rule. She wants to lead us. Is she married?
Mm.
Is she divorced? Is she a single mother?
Mm.
Those are the things they're going to use to judge you. And our journalists will also say these things to you. So you are in front of the world, and the question they're going to ask you is, how come you're not married? If you're not married, how do you lead us?
Do journalists ask that?
You've not seen all those stupid questions.
Maybe bloggers.
Paper? Whatever it is, it is wrong.
It is absolutely wrong.
Because
I'm imagining that a journalist will ask such a question.
They're asking how they are cooking for their husbands. They're you're asking question of if you're still washing your husband's boxers to women leaders. What does that mean? What does that mean? How do you expect her to feel?
Hmm. Okay, I'll go to the phone calls in a moment. But I see also that these political parties they're trying. Put those in quotation marks. So in the PDP, for instance, when they announced the cost of the ticket as 40 million naira, there's a discount. There's a discount just for women who are interested. The APC also did the same. They gave a discount on the on the expression of interest form, which is about 1,500,000. So they say for youth about 25 to 37 or thereabout, they give you 50% on that one. So that's just the whole thing, it would not be less, maybe 250,000. that the PDP also gave a discount for women. Let me look for the precise number. I think they say about 50% discounts on the expression of interest form for women. So they're all appearing, you know, to be a bit mindful of youth and women. Is this satisfactory? Is this good enough?
Whatever they do is good. But my own is, it doesn't matter even if it's free. If we do not sign up, we are not there.
That's it.
We do not congregate and sign up. But you see, the thing is that it is hectic. It is really, really hectic. The way they campaign, the way they meet, the length of time they used to do these things, women have other interests. We are the backbone of the home. We are the backbone of the home. Mm. Until we allow us to be able to do things together, you know, like change the way they do this thing so that it will accommodate us, it will include us. You know, it's like disability as well.
But you know that these people you're asking to accommodate women would not do it. As with every power torso, as with everything that has to change in life, there has to be an intrusion. So my question is, how do women intrude into these spaces? Because in reality, a lot of the biggest conversations are had over bits of meat and liquor. In the midnight, in some club somewhere, they made the decisions. A woman showing up in a bar, for instance, in the middle of the night, and you want to, I'm just imagining, I mean, in this society we're in the first place, why are you in a bar? You still have bars in Nigeria that don't sell to women who come alone. They tell you a woman is not supposed to come alone. You're supposed to buy yourself a drink, you know? So how do women intrude into that space?
Let me tell you something. Let me give you Lagos as an example. Mm-hmm. Do you know how many clubs, social clubs, are for men only?
Yeah.
Men have a way of meeting on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And they don't do this because they don't like us. They do this because they like to meet and congregate. Women, the clubs that we have are social clubs for family. Mm. Men's clubs, they are there for lunch. They are there in the evening after
business
work.
Meetings.
They are there. Apart from business meetings, you see some men go to all these clubs just to go and eat lunch and come back. You see, they have ways they meet and they now trust each other. So sometimes when they exclude us, it's not on purpose. But you see, you want to change this thing and we have to find a way around. The question is, how many of us are available to do it? You're talking about the clubs and where they meet and all that. That's not the only place. Women can meet in other places. Then our representation will go and meet them at the at the party meeting. The thing is, we have to come if we really want this thing. There's only so much they can give us. Even if they give us, look at the 30% that they've given us since. Yeah. How many things they give us?
It's not even filled up.
It's not filled up because the highest the National Assemblies, all the assemblies I've ever got, is about 8% or 9%. It's always reducing every 4 years, 6%, 2%.
Yeah.
They can't force us. They can only open the door. We have to decide to walk in. And we you know, within ourselves, even me inclusive, ask me, have I ever come forward for any position? The thing is, we will look for excuse. Ah, I don't have time, or I can't be doing this. When we are ready, we will take that position. Our mothers, we are standing on shoulders of women that fought like crazy.
Absolutely.
They did not take permission. Nobody is going to give you. You are going to take it.
So my question, I need to go on a break shortly. Okay. And my phone lines are on fire. I know you all want to jump on this conversation. Look at WhatsApp there also. I'm coming to your comment. You know, I'm bringing this up because I think there's still time, you know, for the women. And luckily, you know, I was discussing with a brother of mine just before the show, and he's like, well, there's now independent candidacy. You know, why are women not looking at that option? You know, at least as in the Electoral Act right now, if you're saying the political parties are not giving you the room, there's room for independent candidacy. Maybe you'll not get it at once, but you have to first show up and be counted so you can leave a mark in people's memories to know that you're even here. But if you don't show up, you can't be voted for. That's the point. Like, you see, you would not be in your house and then you would win an election if you're not on the ballot. Do you get? All right, let me take a few calls before my break. 0700-993-993-993. 60 seconds is all you got. Oops. Okay, sorry about that. Please call again. Hello?
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning to you. What's your name, sir?
My name is Anthony from Ikeja.
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, I want to lend support to women in politics. But the problem I have about women is that women do not love themselves. I'll give you an example of Sarah Jubril that contested for marriage sometime under PDP. Even her women supporters that came with her did not vote for her. she got only one vote. So what are we talking about? And the issue of people asking women whether they're married or not married, the issue comes up to know how authentic men, and it's not only women that ask this question. For example, what happened in Anambra last week is a show of shame. So now Nigerians are looking inward. If a man coming up to aspire to any position, they also want to do a kind of search, a background search on your wife and your family to be sure that you people are fit to hold such offices.
Okay, I hear you need to go on a break. I would not agree on that last sentence because, like you know, and which is just the truth, in Africa, women are validated by the men in their lives, either your father, your brother, or your husband. Your validation is based on a man, on you hanging on a man's validation. Let me go on a break and I come back. I take more of your calls. This is 99.3 Nigeria Info. It's Table Talk. Let's break some more tables when we come back. Table Talk. And today I'm asking you the tough conversation. Where are the women to vote for while we clamor for more seats for women? Why are women not showing up? Let me take a few more calls and then we go ahead. Good morning. Hello.
Hello. Good morning, Remimo.
Good morning to you.
My name is Chinelo.
Chinelo, thank you for calling.
Thank you so much, too. So this is it. I came back to the country 2011.
Yes.
And I tried to get an apartment for myself because my father lives in Agbara. I don't know if you know that. It's very far.
Yeah, towards Badagry.
Yes. So I wanted to get an apartment and I got one I really liked. And you know what I was told?
Yeah.
I was told that because I was a single girl, I couldn't get a room. I couldn't get an apartment for myself. I had to get my father to sign for me. I was embarrassed. I just finished my MBA in Leeds, in the UK. I was already a working girl in the UK. I mean, it was so embarrassing.
Yeah.
I had to get my... So, I mean, when people say that women are not really biased, I mean, we're not treated wrongly. It's a... I mean, I don't know what to say, man, because we really... It was really sad for me. It was really hard for me. Because, I mean, yes, people say, okay, and maybe because of what other girls do, but, I mean, you can't just put that all... card on everybody.
That's right.
Some of us work for our money. Some of us need to be treated respectfully.
That's correct.
You know?
That's correct.
I want to get a property later. Same thing. My father had to sign for me again. I mean, it's just sad. Like, I mean, they didn't want to sell for me because I was not married. Like, I mean, I had to be married to do anything in Nigeria.
Thank you very much for calling. It's unfortunately the reality. I mean, like I said before the break, most times, I don't want to say all the time, just to be careful, but most times a woman's worth is hinged on the men in their lives, either, again, a father, her brothers, or her husband. There has to be a man shadowing you for you to be, you know, certified, whatever. Good morning, hello. Please call again. Hello, good morning. Okay, you call again also. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Wemimo.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, my name is Dan Baba.
Please go ahead.
I think what you're talking about, it's just a general problem in Nigeria and Africa. Men say these things a lot. I know some guys who apply for job, they are qualified, but just because they are not married, it's not take them. Some people along the line, they are relieved of their job. Men are listening.
They are relieved of their jobs because they're not married?
Because they are not married, yes, because they feel they are not responsible.
Really? Where? I've not heard that.
Don't ask now. Maybe men are listening.
Okay, Saudet, have you heard that before?
No.
That a man is sacked because he's not married?
Well, the fact that we've not heard it does not mean it doesn't exist. Maybe they should speak up. We are speaking up.
That's a first, though. Good morning, hello?
Hello, Wemimo. Good morning. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
My name is Kofu. I'm a female Uber driver.
Yeah.
And I tell you, women are faced with a lot, in as much as we try to stand up for ourselves. I think the major problem we have is women do not support themselves. You know, I see a lot of females enter my vehicle and they run me down, despite my politeness and all. So I think if there is a sensitization in talking to women, you know, let us embrace ourselves. We only embrace ourselves when we are doing International Women's Day and all that. But in reality, we do not love ourselves.
Before I let you off, can you explain to me when you say that the women who take your taxi run you down, how do they do that?
I've seen a lady come into my vehicle. I did not do anything, absolutely nothing. I can tell you this because I am a 5-star driver,
mm-hmm.
that She was, maybe, you know, there are people that have different moods. You have different, when you're, and you tend to pour it on other people. I tried to explain, apparently, maybe she just let you into the story a bit. If you are on a ride and another, ride comes, while you are still on a ride, you have to pick it. If you don't pick it, you may not get a ride when you get to your destination. So I picked it. Apparently, I was 20 minutes away from her. Hello, can you hear
me? I can hear you.
I picked the ride. So by the time I got to my destination, I saw that I was expecting her call because I can't see her. She can see me. But she didn't call me. So as soon as I ended my ride, I tried to reach her. I was 7 minutes away from her. She was like, why did you pick it when you knew you were far away?
Okay, I get it. I'm sorry. I have to let you go now. So I get that. Okay, here comes a tough call. So I hear it a lot. Women don't support women. Women pull down women. Women tear down women. I think, personally, before I hear from you, that's crap narrative.
Men fight every day. Men fight to the death.
Human beings fight.
We are the ones that keep projecting. I had a lot of women have stood on their shoulders. They have pulled me up. They have opened doors for me. They have done something. It's you. How do you interpret it? Because a woman told you no, or because a woman abused you, you are actually immediately thinking that it's because you're a woman.
I was at an event celebrating International Women's Day, one of those events where someone came up to say, women don't support women. And I asked her to give an example, just like I asked her. And she said, well, I had the work I was doing, I had a boss, and then I got another boss that was a woman. I applied for a job elsewhere. I was scheduled for an interview. And my current boss, who is a woman, did not give me time off to go. I'm like, excuse you, if you're working for me, and that could be a man or a woman. You're working with a company and you want that company to give you time off, legal time off, to go attend an interview at another company. And you're saying...
See, the thing is, when something happens to you, why do you wear the gender lens? I tell people, I've been working for almost 30 years. I've had the privilege, let me say, of not being discriminated against because of my gender. I don't know if I was not discriminated against, or maybe I did not interpret it as such. That does not mean I do not recognize other people that have had that problem. But now, women supporting women, I've had women open doors for me and I've had some look down on me.
Yeah,
I am not going to interpret that because I am a woman, because men have done exactly the same thing for me. So the thing is, we always want to play victim. We don't have time for that victim thing.
That's the thing. No time. No time.
There's no time.
No time.
You continue to shout, because I'm a woman. You will always be a woman.
That's
so how are you
change.
Going to solve that problem? That's what I tell myself. I'm going to always be. You know, when I apply for something and they tell me no. When they nominate and they don't choose me. Some people come and go like, it's because you're a woman. I'm like, I'll always be a woman. If I look at it in that lens, it means I would never get it.
Yeah.
But if I ask myself what I did wrong, what I can change, and how to lobby. You see, a caller called and said, Sarah Jibril, nobody supported her. Did Sarah Jibril go around Nigeria? Did Sarah Jibril go door to door? Did Sarah Jibril go hold town hall meetings? Am I just going to vote for her because she's a woman? Do men just vote for themselves because they are men? Do you see how men go around and campaign?
Yeah.
I followed the America campaign election, and there were these five black women. One of the or two of them were Hispanic, that they got into Senate. They raised money from the neighborhood. They were going door to door. They were holding meetings. They were doing all that. They actually started from getting people to register to vote. That is the Nigerian version of get your PVC. So they went to tell people what their rights were. They followed them up. They had pop-up parties for people to actually come in, and they actually explained to people why they needed to be voted for.
Absolutely. You have to convince them.
They convinced them like every other person, and they raised money for mobilization and logistics. So you can't just come and say, because Sarah Jibril said she's going to be president, every 4 years or every other year she comes out, and that's all we see
until
the next 4 years. There's no town hall meetings. There's no meeting the traditional rulers. How do you want to be the president of Nigeria? You have not gone around to the local politics.
And let's be clear that this would happen whether you're female or you're male. Remember, in every election there are at least a dozen contestants. Some of them, if you look at the votes they poll, you'll be sure that they didn't do any homework. So while we're advocating for more women's seats, You would not get that seat, just so you know in advance. You wouldn't get that seat just because you show up female. You won't get that seat just because you show up female. It wouldn't be, oh, your female hands just win and go. No, it's like marketing a product. You have to market it. You have to convince the citizens why you're the best candidate.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe the odds are stacked higher against you than your male counterpart, yes, but it's a job that has to be done.
Yes.
All right. Good morning. Hello.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to start by commending the ladies that you have in your studio there. Well, you see, I think that any attempt to divide or to claim that the society is divided or the universe is divided into a female universe and a male universe is hypocritical. Women, and in fact, all of us should stop trying to divide the society in the sense that that issue of not getting, you know, women in politics, it's not about, that's the wrong political action. If you really want to, you then need to democratize the society. I'll tell you what I mean. Your line, this line I'm calling now, is the female line, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
We can hear you. Go ahead.
Now, what I mean by democratize the society, the idea is to get people's opinions in government. Why I say it's hypocritical is that we have a government system that does not get back to the people. It does not get people's opinions. You look at the lady who called that talked about her, you know, the lady who wanted to rent an apartment. I'm sure her father would not be happy signing that form. That means if we democratize, if we go to actually seek people's opinion, a man like that father will not vote that women should not be given houses.
Yeah.
Do you get my point?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, we should democratize. We should develop a system like a polling system where people, governments will always seek people's opinions before they do things. In that way, you don't need people, women in politics. If women say they don't like politics, it's their right not to like politics. I get you.
Thank you very much. Now, as much as I hear and understand you, you must also get that the point of advocating for seats for women is that the women who are interested should not be shut out the door. That doesn't mean that every woman wants to be there. The same way not every man likes football. I mean, some people still think it's weird that it's almost, if you're male, it's synonymous with liking football. So you see a man on the road, you're asking him about last night's match. He doesn't care. He doesn't like football. It's not his thing. So it doesn't mean that every woman wants to be there or that the majority of women want to be there, but that the women who want to be there have a fair chance to play.
Representation matters. Representation matters everywhere, especially in the house where they make the laws for us. And if we do not have the female perspective, we are not going to get the laws that will fit us. Like what she said, what the other caller said about renting an apartment. Who are the women in the house that understand that? And you see, the thing is, if I found out that these people that are making our laws and these people that are in politics and all that, there are some things that the laws and policies they make are only made based on the information that they have and the people in the room.
Yeah.
If you are not represented when they are making those laws, you are cut from the table, not because they don't like you, but because they did not hear anybody speak for you.
And they don't understand
and
what your issues
understand.
Are.
Yesterday, I was watching the news on in the House in the U.S., and they were talking about this new abortion law that we're talking about. All the people in that room making that law were men.
Mm-hmm.
There was only one woman, and she was the medical doctor.
Hmm.
And she told them explicitly, what you are doing is a sham. It's not science-based. And as a woman, it doesn't represent me.
Yeah.
But all those people in that room
who are
decision makers did not understand. They're going to make laws that they don't understand. And because you are not represented, that woman represented women. And she's one voice. They're going to vote. They're going to outvote her.
Hmm.
If there were more, then they will be able to come together to say, no. You see, the thing is that it's like the people in my tech sector, they keep complaining about government and how government is not making it conducive for tech to thrive in Nigeria. And I'm like every country in the world, you need government relations. These people don't understand you. If you do not have representation with government and teach them or let them enlighten them about your sector and what you want,
they
are not going
understand.
To make laws.
Yeah.
You have lobbyists. You must have lobbyists for you, and women, we must have lobbyists, and we must come forward. We must be represented in associations. We must be represented in associations that have an advocacy department. Our voice must be heard there. We can't sit down.
Yeah.
All of us are doing business and we keep shouting that, oh, I don't want to be in politics. I just want to focus on my business. One policy tomorrow, you have no business.
That's it. Your business is gone.
It is gone. So if you are not, and that was what gave me, I woke up about 5 years ago and I said, I have to be active. I've always been active in Wimbies, but I had to look at other trade associations to be active in. I joined LCC High in Lagos. I joined MBCC. I made my voice known that I'm here for advocacy.
Yeah.
Because the environment is not conducive for me. And I know that they don't want to frustrate me, but they do not know my pain.
So maybe the frustration is not deliberate.
No,
it isn't. But they would act based on the knowledge that they have.
You are right.
And if there's nobody at the table where the decisions are made, and hello, whether you're in the room or out of the room, those decisions would apply onto you. Amen to that?
Exactly.
There's nothing you can do about it.
Yes.
Look at the bills before the House. We're talking about indigenship for women. For instance, where is a woman from? Is she from a family? Father's town or her husband's town? Also, you say that a woman cannot confer citizenship on her non-Nigerian husband. Now, when the lawmakers, you know, throw this away and say, no, what do they need it for? If not for the pressure that women groups have put up since then, back-to-back pressure, both at the state levels and at the National Assembly levels, staying at the houses and saying, until you change these bills, we're going nowhere. Now, they're going to say, oh, so what are you guys actually talking about? You know, so you need people in there. Look at my phone lines. Let's take a few more calls. Hello?
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah. Just, am I up to FM?
Nigeria Info. My name is Wemimo. Yes, welcome.
Okay. My name is Alex Nwachukwu.
Please go ahead.
I'm a politician, and I know what I've listened to what people are saying.
Yeah.
The issue remains that Nigerian women are not active because they don't pick interest. They are only contented with a woman leader position in political parties. Don't come out. They don't come out. You know, they are only interested in wearing uniform. That's the issue. If the women come out and participate, they will win elections.
Nobody's
blocking anybody. You understand? So, but you have to show interest first.
Yeah.
You have to come out to participate. I was once a campaign manager of a woman who was going for local government chairman. You understand? There are barriers. At the contest of the election, there were barriers against me. You must face obstacles. It's not easy.
Yeah.
But you have to show interest first.
Thank you very much. I mean, I think that's a very fantastic contribution. You have to show the interest. Good morning, hello.
Hello, good morning, Wemimo.
Good morning.
Yes, this is Pastor Ladipo calling from Orilegum.
Welcome.
I think I want to challenge two government agencies. One of them is the Ministry for Women Affairs. Second one is National Orientation Agency. I think the Ministry for Women Affairs should do more in orientating this one because the culture has really, really had effect on us. So for this reason, is also affecting the women going for this politics. Let that agency in particular do something.
All right, thank you. I'm sorry, your line is pretty noisy, but we get the point that you're trying to make. Good morning, hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
Yeah, well, good morning.
Welcome, what's your name?
I don't know if I can be allowed to remain anonymous.
Yeah, that's possible. Please go ahead.
What do you say?
Please go on, that's fine. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, I contested election in 2014, and expression of interest form was 500,000 for a particular in a particular political party.
Okay.
For the women vote, it was free. No woman came out to take up that expression of interest form.
For free?
Free. Now, the point I'm trying to say here is that the numbers of women, I know that in my political party, if you are a woman and you join, a man who has been in that party for 10 years before you will not see your back. But the point is, what is the percentage of women that don't, forget about the market women that just go out to vote. I'm talking about people that registered with the political party and are ready to participate.
Yes.
Now, there are very few. Now, if you want to look at the numbers of men in terms of percentage that have lost election and compare that with the numbers of women that have actually come out to contest and lost, you realize that the numbers of men that lose this election, he is going to be very high.
Yeah.
The point I'm trying to bring to the table here is that there is a particular indices we have not brought into this discussion. Possibly, maybe because of marriage, you have agreement with your husband that you are not going to do this, or your husband is not. It is, that is personal relationship.
Hmm.
That is like in America, you have what you call prenup now, because the marriage laws will seem to be scheme against, you know, certain
yeah.
sex.
Yes.
People will now say, for me to get married to you, if the day we terminate, maybe you don't get anything. Maybe you get this. Once you sign, it's dotted.
Hmm.
Now, because of that situation that a lot of women have found themselves, for me, I would be happy if my wife is in politics. But not many men are like me. I understand that. And if it's a personal relationship, we can't force anybody to change his personal decision.
Thank you very much. I hear you. But for time, I love the contribution you put on. Let me jump onto Facebook. Take a few comments. Chika Steven says, this show sounds like it's men versus women. You see why I always do my intros. Women tell it as if it is a man causing the setbacks for the women. Women should be patient and learn a lot about politics and morals. And many women run away from things that disturb their psychology. Many like an easy life. If I see a woman with courage, I know I respect her. Not only me do. What does that mean? So women should be willing and go for it. Ask them about politics. They tell you they don't have time for that. Okay. Yeah, you've got quite a number of comments here. Apparently, is even dominating my comment section. So let me look for other people. Give me a minute. WhatsApp. Let me see if I can read from there. Someone says that he thinks that the caller is looking for houses in the wrong places. That's why she didn't get a house. because if female students can seek off-campus accommodation and get it easily, women should go and find accommodation being single. And I can bet you the person discouraging that single lady getting that property is possibly a female landlady. Says he can bet on that. Okay, so my time's almost up. And I think we should have this conversation continuing next week, because election season is coming on us. And I want to jolt you out of... It's a jolting I'm doing. Jolt you out of your seats to go pick up the forms and contest. Throughout this month, is breaking the bias. And there are various biases against women. But this one is a bias that women themselves have to break down. You have to take the bull by the horn and go for it. This week... what's today? Today's the 21st. I'll be at a conference. We'll be there together. Oh, yes, this week is Thursday. Go check the details on my social media handle. I want you to register and be there. I want to see you come and join me to break the table. Basically, right? It's on Thursday. Yeah, I'll put up the details on my social media handle. We need to go now. We'll do this again next week, I promise. I'm going to shelve what I have for next week. So we'll do this again. We men, you have to show up to be counted. It will not fall on your laps. I love to give the story of Margaret Tepo. Once I read about her, my life never remained the same again. She made an economic shift in ensuring that women are able to vote. She bought up all the salt. I love that story. She's such a woman I wish I had met. Bought up all the salt. So when the men started eating tasteless food at home, asking women, why is my food having no salt? Well, there's no salt in the market because she will not allow us to vote. Is it because you can't buy salt because you're not voting? Oh, yeah, take money. Go and vote. Go and join political party. Go and join the party and just bring me salt. Look at that. There has to be strategy. Sada Salami, thank you very much for joining the show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Nigeria, let's break some more tables next week. Same time, but I'm on social media at Wemi More Sport. We keep talking there back and forth. I'll see you again. We'll pick up this conversation again next week, Monday. Have a fabulous day. The Tech Guys are here in a few minutes. After that, the Sunnyside at 12, Hard Facts at 3. We've got sports in the evening. We've got more talk throughout the night. This is Nigeria Info. And I'm here during the day reading you the news every hour. So stay right here with me. My name is Wemi More Adewin. Have a good morning.